Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Yeah, well done to Tim Zhu there. I thought he was very gutsy in the way he went about it. Mate, we have got a very special guest on the line, and he's a bit of a guru when it comes to rugby league. He's also the patron of the Danica Clark Foundation. Tony Clark, welcome to the program. Are you there, mate?
Yeah, good on you, boys. Thank you. That was a very interesting discussion you've just had.
Yes, mate. Have you got one for us? Have you got any fights or boxing controversies that come to mind?
Well, I was thinking while you were talking, Michael. I will text you a little later when we finish.
Oh, no, but, yeah.
Yeah, no problem. And I go back a little bit further than you guys. So there has been a couple over the generation.
Oh, there certainly has, mate. Certainly has, mate. On Wednesday night, we saw the Danica Clark Foundation, the scholarships for 2024. Get distributed. It's one of the great nights of the year in relation to hearing from these young athletes. Just to put in perspective, the foundation now, we've got 119 athletes that have received scholarships across 37 sports, over $360,000 being provided to these young athletes in terms of scholarships for them to achieve their sporting goals. So tell us a bit about the Wednesday night, mate.
Oh, it was just outstanding, Michael, and it's funny when you hear those figures. You know, it certainly humbles you in what we've been able to achieve as a board, not just our family, but of course everyone involved. And I thought I said it, but it was just the best night ever. You know, listening to the kids, it's such a great relaxed atmosphere. And again, Michael, the diversity of Central Coast sport. I mean, from MotoGP to jiu-jitsu to the walkers to the cyclists, and it's something that we're extremely proud of, and I'm sure that the class of 24 will certainly fly the flag for Danica.
Yes, mate, it's we're nearing on 17 years since her passing, and I'm sure it doesn't get any easier as the days go on or the years go on. I do remember doing an interview with you and Steve Allen some 17 years ago, just after the incident. You talked about, establishing the foundation and what that was about. And as soon as I got off the air, I had to call you and say, look, I want to be a part of this. I don't know what I can do, but it's amazing to think some 16, 17 years later, Danica's legacy is still being remembered, and probably her impact has been greater than we could ever imagine.
Oh, definitely, Michael. I remember that phone call, mate. We were doing it on the other sports show, and when you rang me, and you've been involved from day one. And I think the thing that I'm most proud of is our longevity as a foundation. I think that we seem to be getting stronger every year, which is wonderful, with the great stewardship, of course, of yourself as chairman, and Gary Mensforth, Stevie Allen, Greg Ferguson now, who's director of corporate partnerships, has done a wonderful job in creating a new revenue stream for us, and it's something. I've got to be honest, mate. I can't put it in words. It is 17 years on Wednesday, the 10th of the 4th, that Danica did pass. So to think that we've achieved this, because we were a year after that, of course, that we formed the foundation. So to think that we've done that, 364,000 in that time frame, and as you said on Wednesday night in your very heartfelt speech, that we're hoping, in the not too distant future to be upwards of that, $500,000.
Yeah, TC, Gary Birkinshaw, congratulations on another fantastic night and achievement. Mate, do you want to just give us a brief rundown of who were the scholarships for 2024?
Gaz, yeah, they're, as I said, the diversity, I haven't got all the names in front of me, but it's again, question without matters.
Sorry, mate. No, it's What I will say, Clarkie, is, you know, again, I think we had an additional five or six scholarship holders. We've had a lot that have carried on from previous years. And again, you touched on adversity, the MotoGP stuff, the cerebral palsy, Paramatildas. The water polo. It has been just phenomenal how many of these athletes and what they've been able to achieve. And I look back now, you know, obviously with the 2024 Olympics coming up in Paris. And when you consider what a big year that is, but we've got so many of the scholarship holders or previous scholarship holders who will be competing in Paris. And, you know, I'm just going to rattle off a few. Nicola Oleschlager, Riley Fitzsimmons, Maddie Dawson, Dylan Littlehayes, Molly Picklum, just to name a few. And I dare say there's probably going to be a couple more who will find themselves in Paris at the end of this year. And mate, that must... And, you know, we've been on that journey. We know what it's like in terms of seeing some of our scholarship holders and athletes compete at that level and how much it means to us.
Oh, exactly, mate. It is. And I think, like, it was such a special guest on Wednesday night, having Matt Horsnell, of course, you know, Nicola's coach.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Just a wonderful, wonderful insight into Nicola's preparation. But again, the way, you know, again, it just touches me greatly, and I know it touches the family when Nicola just, again, and Matt reiterated that on Wednesday night, which he said we were there when no one else was. And that's something that is, you know, remarkable and something we take a lot of pride in. The other one, I think, a great story was our young kickboxer, Caleb McGurkin's first year in. Steve-O asked him how he was involved in the sport. He said when he was 7 years old, he said, you know, the McDonald's prizes were having a cheeseburger, and he won a free lesson to a kickboxing class, and now he's upwards of a world champ. So it's just a wonderful story. But, a great young man, and we'll certainly be following his career with great interest.
Yeah, mate. It's, again, an amazing foundation to be a part of. And I have no doubt that as we head towards 2024 and beyond and 2025, once we get to the 20-year mark, I think $500,000 is well within reach. And I think it's a goal that, as a board, we should seriously consider and know that it's going to young athletes on the coast for them to be able to fulfill their dreams. Clarkie, talk to me about the Thursday night game. Melbourne Storm versus the Broncos, 34-32. What a game.
Oh, Michael, it was just edge of the seat stuff, wasn't it? I mean, there were some missed tackles and some drop ball, but wow, just the skill that was shown. A couple of those Bronco tries, they'll be showing them for years. And I thought it was a wonderful game of footy. Would have been an apt result to have a draw, I reckon, because both teams give it them all. But again, you've just got to admire Melbourne's strength and resilience that they show, you know, year in, year out. They're quite incredible.
You have to be, wrapped with the return of Ryan Pappenhausen if you're Craig Bellamy and Melbourne Storm for the injuries that he suffered the last 2 years. And he's back now, three or four rounds in, and he's hardly missed a beat. And just how important a player he is, not only the Storm, but just the rugby league in general.
Oh, definitely, Gaz. He's just a pleasure to watch, isn't he? And you can see, as you alluded to there, that he's just growing in confidence every game. And great to see Cam Munster back. And they'll certainly be there when the whips are cracking, come September.
I've got to say, Clarkie, I forgot how good Pappenhausen was. Like, it's been 2 years that he's been out injured, and seriously, I what he did the other night, and it was just little glimpses here and there, and he scored earlier this year. He scored a couple of tries in games, and you know, just that spark that he offers the Melbourne Storm side, for them to have their spine back, and that being Harry Grant, Jerome Hughes, Cameron Munster and Pappenhausen. They haven't played together since, I think it was mid-2022, right? So that in itself gives that team so much more confidence, right? When you've got the calibre of those players who are back together and in good form. Jerome Hughes, I thought, was outstanding the other night. Munster has had an injury and probably not at his best at the moment, but Pappenhausen was electrifying. Harry Grant, you're going to get the same thing. I don't think he has a bad game in his repertoire, to be honest with you. But, mate, seriously, Pappenhausen was so exciting. Every time he got the ball, he was just an excitement machine for me.
Oh, he was, Michael. Just his footy IQ, like his awareness of where the next play is going to be. I mean, he's sniffing, and as we said, he's just going to get better and better. And that whole spine, I mean, you know, if that's not in the top two or three spines in the game, I'll give it away. You know, but for Pappen, as I said, he's pushing on every play. You know, his live attack is quite incredible, and you know, his positioning in his kick defence is again up there with the best of them. He reminds me of probably Teddy, you know, two or three years ago. And that's no knock on Tedesco, but you know, he's just got that X factor about him.
Yeah, TC, Broncos grand finalist last year, and everyone sort of, a few people this year thought whether they'd be able to back up again after last year's performance, but you know, the performances so far this year, they've gone to Melbourne, you know, lost narrowly by 2 points, but they're missing Reece Walsh, they're missing Payne Haas, which are arguably two of the best players in the game in their positions, and Adam Reynolds goes off with a hamstring injury just before half time. But their resilience and their ability to find players to fill those positions, you know, yeah, must make them a real chance again this year, because depth is so important now in the run towards finals at the back end of the year. And they've certainly got that. Tristan Saylor is slotted in really, really well at fullback. He seems to now know his place in the game, and he's really starting to show that flair that when he came into St. George's, that's what he was known for. But the depth, you know, is certainly something that they've certainly really started to develop.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, you know, they will be, them and Penrith and Melbourne will certainly be there. And as you said, like, you're taking the best front row, yeah, arguably the best front row in the game, arguably the best fullback, the way Reece Walsh has been playing. You know, and I think there's another back rower that didn't play either. So, you know, they've done, and again, going back to Tristan Saylor, you can see that Kevin's coaching has, you know, like, he's a great coach, but his systems now that he has in place, because the replacement, you know, the next man up mentality is seamless. You know, Tristan's come in and he just knows, you know, what systems the Broncos use.
Yeah, it was an impressive game, mate. It was probably the game of the season thus far for me, and both teams should be commended for the way they went about it. I'm sure the coaches won't be happy with the defensive efforts, but the attack was, yeah, it was end-to-end stuff, which was fantastic. Bulldogs versus the Roosters last night. We got some audio of Trent Robinson and his thoughts on a couple of incidents that occurred throughout the game. We'll go to those now, Staples.
Yeah, obviously really poor to start the game. You know, it's pretty obvious there that, you know, they won a lot of the battle for the ball and battle for field position, and then, you know, some, you know, poor execution of obviously the scrum defence, and then second try was obviously a bit contentious there, but we've still got to wrap that ball up, and then, you know, they just jumped us for energy. You know, they had good line speed, and then, second half... absolute sort of courage and clarity on how they wanted to play, led by Kez and a lot of guys. And I was just really proud of just the effort and also the ability just to stay on a game plan and go after it and, you know, and almost do the impossible. So
yeah, it was almost impossible. 26-0 at half time down the Roosters were. And a gutsy performance, but real concerns for the Roosters in a couple of aspects. Tedesco, HIA, failed. Sam Walker, HIA, failed. Dom Young, sent off. So he's looking at a couple of weeks on the sideline. Victor Radley, which I thought was a really tough sin binning, but he more than likely is going to, you know, face... Well, he's probably going to get charged for something I don't think was certainly... certainly not worthy of a sin bin. So, some real concerns there for the Roosters, Clarkie.
Oh, definitely, Michael. I didn't see the whole game because I was at a function, but I was listening to it on the way to that, and you could just tell in the commentators' voices the lack of energy from the Roosters, which is a huge concern. I think, it's the old saying, Michael, isn't it? You know, they look good on paper, but you don't play on paper, you know, and there is some major concerns there, I believe. I mean, yeah, adversity for sure, you know, and it's the old saying, isn't it? It was certainly a game of two halves, going by the highlights I saw when I got home, but just a soft try for Blake Taff from the scrum play, Young dropping it on his first carry, ridiculous challenge, you know, where everyone knew he just dropped the cold. So, yeah, you know, they've got some soul searching, the Roosters. I don't get them at the moment. I really don't.
Interesting media article, which I read during the week, which I found quite amazing, where they've come up and mentioned that the Roosters haven't had their best side on the park for 2019, which is probably true. But I would say that's probably true for just about every major football code going around, because it's such a collision sport and injuries are prevalent of it. And it was just an interesting thing to bring up. I'm not sure what it actually meant. Like, was it about to say, like, oh, we haven't won premierships because we haven't had our best side on the park, and or is it making excuses for reason why we haven't done that? I just found it quite an interesting read, and very factual, there's no doubt about that, but I just didn't see what the purpose of it really was. And as I said, I think it probably could be said for just about every side in the competition.
Yeah, it's funny, Gaz. I thought exactly the same thing. I thought, because it was definitely a story from the Roosters, you could tell that, you know, it just didn't pop up. Yep. And I thought, I wonder where they're heading with it. I agree wholeheartedly, you know, because, again, look what we just said about Brisbane. You know, they've lost, you know, two of the best players in their position, but you didn't hear anything from Kev. So, yeah, you know, I'm just not getting them at the moment, because they're still very clunky in what they're doing. And, they'll certainly have to put their head down and bum up shortly and get back to that work ethic that we've known over the last few years with them.
Yeah, that's 100% right. And one of the key facets or attributes of the Roosters was their defence. And to concede 26 points in that first half, very disappointing from their perspective. Clarkie, thank you so much for your time, mate. Absolute pleasure to talk about the Danica Clark Foundation and the scholarship night, but also talk rugby league with you. We love having you on the show, mate, but thank you for joining us.
Good on you, boys. It's always a pleasure. And, thanks for having me.
Yep, that was Tony Clark, local legend coach up here on the Central Coast. And